couldn't sleep at night, a lot of racing thoughts.
I wasn't getting up from bed, and I didn't want to deal with anybody.
Aliez Roman and Irkanya Reyes recognize the signs of postpartum depression.
Crying all the time for absolutely no reason.
I didn't pick up my phone for about 2 months.
I just break down, cry, have an anxiety attack.
Now they're both patients in a women and infants hospital program. It's one of only a few in the country that lets moms and babies attend treatment together. That was a big draw for both women. Roman says it also helped her overcome resistance to getting help.
First, you have to realize that you need the help, and then you have to accept the help, and then really push yourself to getting the help because you feel like, okay, I'm a mother. I need to be able to juggle all of these things, and I don't have time for me. I need to get all of this done.
Layer on top of that, the attitudes she finds in her culture about mental illness.
Especially with, like, the older women, it's like, oh, you're not depressed. You're just, you know, overwhelmed, or you just need to get out the house, or, you know, there's no such thing as being depressed.
You should be happy, they say. You have a new baby. Or this comment from a friend.
You know, someone had told me, oh, how was your first day at the crazy hospital? So it was kind of like, I know you're kind of joking, but you're not joking.
Fellow patient Irkanya Reyes says she worried about that label too. She worried about telling people about her depression, fearing someone would take her children away from her or that she'd have a permanent mark on her record. She doesn't even want her family to know about her treatment.
I don't really tell them, like, you know, whatever's going on, but my mom knows, and she always says the same. Oh, now you're going to get treated like you're crazy. The baby's going to be hooked on meds. So it's more like you don't talk to them about it.
But both Reyes and Roman say they had to do something to get better, for themselves and for their children. They felt too out of control to go on, and they knew their babies might suffer. Women and infant psychologist Shannon Erisman is one of their doctors.
We know that moms who are depressed don't interact with baby in the same way. So they don't make eye contact as frequently with baby. They don't spontaneously vocalize, sing to baby, talk to baby. And they're just not as responsive to baby's cues.
The Women and Infants program provides group and individual therapy and allows professionals to observe mom and baby interacting so they can encourage bonding. Erisman says she's noticed a growing number of Latinas in the program. She's not sure why, but she says one reason may be that they're at higher risk for postpartum depression. Another might be Providence's unique program.
Hopefully we have some word of mouth effect. You know, Rhode Island is a small place, and we have so many people who are coming through the program and hopefully having a good experience. At least that's what they tell us. So I think their communities are learning that this is a safe place.
Plus, there's a national movement toward more screening for postpartum depression.
More OBGYNs are screening, particularly at postpartum visits. And we also have some pediatricians who are screening when mom comes in for well baby visits, which has been fantastic. So it's improving, but certainly not all offices do this, and many don't during the pregnancy period.
Psychiatrist Rhoda Seplowitz agrees. She's in private practice in Houston.
I would say it's becoming more common in academic centers, but it's not necessarily, I don't see it in private practice.
A few years ago, Seplowitz studied the records of thousands of minority women who had given birth at a particular hospital. She wanted to know how many had sought treatment for mental illness.
How many of those women had a psychiatric diagnosis or a psychiatric encounter after childbirth? And the rates were very low. It was around 5%. Mm-hmm. And you would expect a much higher rate. Maybe 15% would be a conservative estimate.
Researchers estimate about 15 to 20% of white women could suffer from postpartum depression, and that number could be double for Latinas. Why? It may not necessarily have anything to do with being Latina. Seplowitz says the things that keep poor women from accessing health care are the same things that put them at risk for postpartum depression.
It's that having social isolation or a language barrier or not enough money to pay for prenatal care or food or transportation are risk factors for postpartum depression.
And for Alia's Roman, it's just tough to ask for help, especially when your culture expects so much of mothers.
It's like you're supposed to be able to run your household. So if you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, well, you're in charge of the cooking, the cleaning, taking care of your husband when he comes home, making sure he has everything he needs.
Now she's coming to terms with the fact that she has to take care of herself in order to take care of her family. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.